out on the water. Isn't that what you want? So take a boating safety course, wear your life jacket, and watch out for other boaters.
And remember to boat smart from the start, matey!
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The only thing I didn't learn...
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Yes, yes, don't bully. Indeed. And hey, there's not much left of school anyway. Anyway, this is WUSB Stony Brook, streaming at WUSB.FM. There's also playlists and schedules there, and you can donate to the station. In any event, it is 6:02 on a Tuesday evening. That means one thing. It's time for Off the Wall.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. Welcome. This is Off the Wall. I'm Kyle, and I'm joined tonight by Emmanuel over there.
Hey.
I think I'm hearing you in both channels. Yeah, everything's good. I apologize for the skipping CD player. That was me trying to move a piece of equipment.
Don't do that. Don't move things.
Yeah, don't touch anything. It's all, well, I guess all a prelude to the station's move.
The phrase, spit in a promise.
No.
It's held together with spit in a promise.
Spit in a promise. Wing in a prayer.
We don't have the promise here. We got plenty of spit, but we don't have the promise.
Chewing gum and tape.
That's why you don't move things.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't suppose.
We had a pencil holding the board together, a paperclip, all kinds of things.
Yeah, I know. I recall I had a paperclip holding you in two channels. There's various other motions and tapping and prayer and chant that goes into making everything come to you. But here we are on WSB Stony Brook. And we're streaming. We're on the internet, too.
Yes. Hi, internet.
So, what is new? What is going on in the world right now?
I don't like the world. The world is just too depressing and annoying and disappointing.
Is it? Oh, well.
My team lost. Again.
Okay, I have to fess up to something.
Yeah, I think maybe you should.
Yeah,
Go ahead. Get this off your chest.
Our listeners need to hear this from me. So, at one point, you and I had sat down after a nice long day of, activity and work and so on. And
running around like crazy people, yeah.
Yeah, our normal milieu,
mm-hmm.
And decided to, just settle into maybe a little, late night relaxation. I think you were still doing some things. In any event, you were about to do exactly what I alerted you to, accept not really. I ruined the game for you.
I
sat down and watched some TV and basically saw a report, said, oh my gosh, blah blah blah.
Yeah, thanks, Euronews.
Blah 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 being the winner of the Sevilla and Liverpool game. So I basically blurted that what we now know is true, that Liverpool had not won, and you had not even been able to queue up your recording.
No.
And I mean, this is like something I, of all people, should know.
I spent all day avoiding the score, only to have you tell me right when I'm sitting down to the game that has been 2 years in the making, because we started this whole thing with the FA Cup, the tenth division team, Nuttington Griff. We followed them up until the FA Cup final, and then instead of taking the team that won the FA Cup final, since they already qualified to get into Europe, as Europa and Champions League is called,
right?
We picked the team that wound up going through as a result of the result of that final game, which was Southampton. So we followed Southampton through Europa League and kept taking on whoever won the game. We'd follow that team up until the end, and we wound up with Liverpool, which turned out to be a really incredible emotional team, and we were rooting for them to win against the final
place in Basel,
Switzerland, against Sevilla from Spain.
We've been to Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
We took a steamer overnight to Ireland from this town. You know, we've never been to Seville.
No.
If you've never been, our loyalty was not with the Italians on that particular item, and I ruined it. Thank you. I think that's as much salt as you can pour into the wound, but it is certainly my fault for ruining
it. It's not over yet, because what happens at this point, since Sevilla won Europa League, and by the way, it's the third year in a row they've done that, they advance next year to the Champions League. Champions League is kind of like the same thing, a bunch of good European teams playing against each other, except it's a division up from what Europa League is. Basically what happens is they wind up, I think, joining in some stage, not the first stage, because this all starts over again in July. I think they start sometime in September or something like that. So we will be following Sevilla and seeing if they make it anywhere in the Champions League, and we'll make it to the final game in the Champions League about a year from now. And Kyle has promised me tickets to that game as a way of making up for this.
I did. I said I would pay for the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to point out that you didn't mention once that you were trying to avoid the game, which I think an older me, a different me, a earlier version of me would say, well, you know, you didn't warn me, but I actually, it was okay that you didn't say you were trying to avoid it. You presumed that I was right there with you avoiding it, and I dropped the ball. I dropped the bomb. I let the Bengal out of the bag. I really, really messed up.
I've never heard of that
like
one.
Like a tiger or cat. I don't know.
Why would you put a Bengal in a bag to start with?
It was a big cat I let out.
I think that's the mistake, is putting a Bengal in a bag, not taking it out of the bag.
But I, of all people, should have known that's exactly what you were doing, and you didn't even get to select and start. I'm so sorry.
2:30 in the morning, sitting down after a long, hard day, running around avoiding scores. And
I just took an hour and a half away from you, just ripped it out of your hands.
Well, more than that, if you count pregame and postgame and all that. But no, it was okay. I watched it the next day, and it was, you know, at first they were ahead, so I was kind of happy about that. But I knew they were going to lose in the end. They lost 3-1. It's unfortunate, but that's what happens.
We're already getting calls about this. We might take calls.
We haven't done that.
Is working. Yeah, we haven't taken calls in a couple weeks, so hold that thought. Maybe add a couple to it, and call a friend, tell them to call too, and we'll have a lot of calls.
We've had letters. We've gotten a bunch of letters, actually.
Do you have any?
I brought some with me.
Okay.
And, of course, people can always write to us, otw@2600.com. So few people do write in general. And that's another disappointment for me because, I see this in many different forums, different radio shows, magazines, all kinds of other places where people express themselves. And you just notice people aren't expressing themselves like they used to, with paragraphs and thought out arguments and things like that. It comes mostly in one line or links or just abbreviated words. It's really sad. We're losing a vital form of expression in the written word.
I would say I haven't written you a friendly letter in a while. I think you're owed one, and I can maybe have that as an additional letter when I send you the apology and the itinerary for the game.
Well, that's a legal issue at this point. So, you know, whatever the lawyer tells you to do with the apology, that's fine. But as far as friendly, you know, you can send a nasty letter to your nasty letters actually are better than your friendly letters. Yeah, they are. Because
is that really that from the heart?
If you're lucky, folks, you will be bitched out by Kyle at some point in your life because it's something to hear. It's a phenomenon to behold. Just the literary allusions, the comparisons. New words are created on the spot to describe you and something that you have done or something that you have not done. And it goes on for quite some time, too. It can go on for like 35 minutes sometimes.
You know, you say one line. I was a friend of mine from Europe, a European friend, actually responded to me and you say one line. I mean,
they blurt out a score to you? Or?
No. Oh. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't let it go that easily.
No, that's okay. Keep it coming.
See, Europeans know not to do that.
I was addressing some issue, something planning, you know, with regards to the conferences, stuff we plan, mm-hmm. stuff we do. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, okay. So I wrote him, like, a paragraph, and I did not do any page breaks. I didn't do multiple paragraphs. It was basically, like, one chunk of text, and I was recounting a phone call. And, you know, kind of my impression of the phone conversation and, quote, how it went. And he basically wrote me and said, I don't understand your syntax or your logic here. I don't follow what you're saying. It's all just... And I had to say, well, okay, yeah, you know, I'm sorry. It was a bit early. And I was just basically saying, okay, and he said this and they said that and making all these allusions and stuff. But realizing that I just really... He wasn't going to read it as though he was hearing a story. He was going to read it as though I had a point and some logical things and some questions for him. But it was really just me recounting a story as though I would tell you, okay, I talked to Sam on the phone and Sam said this.
You talked
blah,
to
blah,
Sam?
Blah.
I've been trying to reach Sam for 2 weeks.
I'm saying
now.
That's an example. But
oh, okay.
That
use a different
style,
name.
Like that one. Use a different name.
Yeah, just any name but Sam. You know he owes me. Well,
Rodrigo?
Okay. Rodrigo, I'm cool with. So yeah, talk about Rodrigo. That's fine.
All right. Okay. So for instance, if I was talking about, okay, Rodrigo said this, he's going to, and then I said that, and I didn't understand what he meant by this and that and the other thing. He wasn't going to read, he wasn't going to read it as a story. He just wanted what he needs to do. He wanted a conversation with me. He couldn't take from that and process that and interpret what it meant in the context of my dealings with him, which I thought was really odd. I didn't know if it was my fault for not writing very well or if I should have, I mean, I obviously could have been more succinct, but I can completely relate because even a page break, one page break and another, like...
But you said this was a paragraph. How long was this paragraph?
It was probably like... Well, and the other thing is I wasn't using formatting, so it probably appeared as like one long line.
Did you use punctuation at least?
I did use punctuation, but it was probably like an 8 or 12 sentence paragraph with long sentences.
And you don't use uppercase either.
And I don't use uppercase, so I second guess myself. And it's exactly what you're saying, that like, you know, I'm writing and I'm thinking that he'll just pick up like, oh, that's how the conversation went, because it's essentially what I was asked, what he asked me to explain to him. Instead of explaining the result, I explained the conversation and it got totally lost. Like, too much writing, mm-hmm. can't compute. It totally fell flat on its face.
You know, you need to, when you read something, you need to sort of realize it's kind of like getting on an amusement park ride. You know, you've paid already. You're there. There's no turning back. Get on. Accept it for what it is, and go on the ride. And it might be something you weren't expecting. You might be surprised. You might be shocked. You might even be scared. But you have to sit it through to the end.
So, let me please ask. Tell me you have a letter, at least one or two that it's heartfelt, that is from a listener that maybe...
I totally forgot about the letters. That's what we started talking about,
perhaps,
right?
More punctuation. Maybe it's a bit more logical and not story-like.
No, there's paragraphs, there's formatting, there's uppercase, lowercase, all that.
Okay, so there's a introduction and sort of a body and then a conclusion of some kind.
I outlined where it's building up to a point.
They're not just...
The climax is that point where, you know, you're at the worst possible stage right before...
When the hero, the hero returns.
Yeah, like, you know, at the end of, close to the end of every film is where everything really sucks.
Okay.
And how are you going to get yourself out of this? And that's when, you know, the conclusion.
Resolution.
And that's, every letter is like that, too. So, I outlined all
that. Let's read some of those, because I bet our listeners are a bit more hip to how to communicate with the email.
Well, I just find it amazing that we spend so much time on a tangent while talking about letters and talking about people who don't write and express themselves enough. If people did this more, if people wrote us more tangents, I'd be happy because, you know, it's an adventure. We're probably annoying people, but still, it's an adventure.
Even if it is completely disjointed and then, like, you are falling, you're thinking faster than you're writing and you're just throwing words in, as long as it's complete words that are in the English language, I think we'll interpret it. We'll accept that.
Well,
and,
yeah.
But you're right. We're in a, it is changing. The way people communicate is changing, and it's just, it is being slowly sort of diluted in significance because people aren't used to it.
Well, I also don't want to sell you short because the way you're describing your writing, I don't think does it justice. I'm on a bunch of different mailing lists, and this is something that I notice, particularly with quote unquote activists. Where that, you know, the angry activist, the kind that everybody sucks, everything is bad, everyone's evil, all elected people are the same. You know,
it'll
It'll never work, you know, and the most unpleasant people in the world to talk to. Yeah, listen to the Billy Joel Angry Young Man song, and it's right on the head as far as that goes. And the thing is, you know, I agree with the points. I agree with the concerns.
Right.
But I like to approach things from a more positive view where you can actually affect some change, and maybe you won't see a transformed planet in your lifetime, but you will feel that you have done something on a local scale for sure if you put the time and energy into it. And you know, we need humor, we need positivity. This doom and gloom is really too much. And so often I get these emails where these people think they're making some kind of amazing point, and they probably are making a point somewhere in there, but it's just literally 10 pages of one paragraph just hitting you over the head, and who would read that? You know, and you see the same thing sometimes. Well, you did see the same thing in printed form,
right?
You know, those single space typewritten newsletters on both sides of the page. We've all seen them at some point, and it's just troubling and annoying, and doesn't really do anything. In fact, does worse, does more against your point than for your point. And, you know, I see the same thing today in politics. Already, you know, this is why Trump is starting to gain. In fact, there's polls now saying that Trump is ahead of Hillary Clinton. Yes. Which scares the crap out of me that this could actually happen.
I like how you almost whispered about Trump. Like, it is that scary.
It is that scary. I mean,
no,
look,
we've been
treating this as a joke ever since it was first, you know, whoever came up with the joke to start with.
Yeah.
Hey, well, if Donald Trump ran for president, that would be funny, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And
no,
somehow he overheard it on a train or something.
The overconfidence and cavalier attitude about that prospect, I think, is absolutely misplaced and foolhardy and a problem.
Like, yeah.
We really need to come together around what we would not like to see for our country.
I mean, it would be the height of stupidity for people on I hesitate to call it the left because it really is so close to center in this country, but it's the closest thing we have to the left other than the real left that nobody knows about.
Right.
Where people say that, you know, if it's not Bernie, it's nobody. We even talked about this at the caucus in Washington during that show. I know that was brought up as well.
Yeah.
So basically, that is political suicide because, you know, if you don't vote for Hillary Clinton, if she's the nominee, then, you know, you're pretty much assuring that Trump will ride on in and win the nomination or win the election.
Right.
But at the same time, I really don't like the arrogance of Hillary Clinton supporters who basically are saying that Bernie Sanders needs to drop out now. No, he does not need to drop out now. In fact, this argument between them needs to go all the way to the convention where you have it out in front of everybody. Otherwise, sure. It means nothing. Otherwise, all of this work, all of this activism, all of this political, I don't know what the word is. Other than more activism that's been taking place over the last bunch of months, it all means nothing. You know, it's the points that Bernie Sanders has made on universal health care and Wall Street and so many other things that he has brought to the mainstream. These need to be addressed. These need to be acted upon. And if the reaction of Hillary Clinton supporters is simply to dismiss and ignore all that, they're writing their own doom because it's just going to disenfranchise these people. You know, and they won't support her, and rightfully so in that case.
Right, right, right.
So, you know, at this point, it's really up to the Democrats how they handle the situation. If they handle it badly, they're basically letting Trump in. They are. If Hillary Clinton does not select a vice president that speaks to Bernie Sanders supporters, she's not going to have support of a significant number of them. At the same time, if Bernie Sanders supporters preemptively alienate themselves by saying all kinds of things they can't take back about Hillary Clinton's stands and integrity and all that,
yeah.
You know, you might be doing some irreparable damage. Look, the debates were great. Most of them were really great, the Democratic ones, because they were mature. They were actually talking about issues. They were disagreeing, but they were respecting each other. If that goes out the window, then, you know, something else is going to come in the window. So think it through. Think it through. All sides need to think this through. And in Philadelphia, when the convention takes place, right after the Hope Conference, by the way, you know, do you realize the Republican convention takes place right before the
before.
Hope Conference,
okay,
and the Democratic
before.
Comes right after? The
Democrats are after.
Yeah.
Okay. I knew they were both taking place, but I hadn't committed to memory which was when and so on.
So
now
if you
I'll
want
remember.
A real fun ride this summer,
right.
Start in Cleveland, go to New York, and then wind up in Philly. that's where all the action is going to be. Basically, in Philadelphia, at the convention, these issues need to be hammered out. There needs to be shouting back and forth. But in the end, they need to unite. That's what the purpose of the convention is. If they don't do that, you basically are opening up the door for fascism in this country.
And yeah.
This is nothing we've ever seen.
No. Like a conciliatory sort of debate and then like enlightened debate and actually use the convention for its intended purpose,
mm-hmm.
and really have it out, but with an eye, bearing in mind that we need to to use strategy in the greater general context of this election. Absolutely. And you're right. I do think that the Clinton campaign has been a bit dismissive, I think, of just how close her and Bernie's sides of this campaign have been
right.
and are now. And you're seeing similar figures as far as the Democrats or Hillary versus Trump. And I think even Bernie versus Trump, if that was even possible. But,
well, he's more popular as far as, you know, but that's saying that these Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are two of the most unpopular candidates ever. And
right.
how in the world did they become the front runners? That's a very good question. Bernie Sanders is not unpopular. He doesn't have as many votes, but somehow he's more popular. But that has to be taken into account. That has to be taken seriously. It's really, really important that what he says and the people that he's brought to the table. I mean, there are people now involved who were not involved before. You need those people. You need them to be voting the right way in November, or it's all for nothing. And it, in fact, it could even wind up hurting. So it's very troubling to see this sort of thing continue. In fact, we were talking about Trump. This is something interesting that that I just saw. There was a GOP senator, former GOP senator named Bob Bennett from Utah. He died on May 4th. After a year-long battle with pancreatic cancer, on his deathbed, he asked if there were any Muslims in the hospital. And supposedly in his last days following a stroke, his mind was occupied with apologizing to Muslims for the xenophobia and hatred expressed by his party's presumptive presidential candidate. He said to his wife and son, "I'd love to go up to every single one of them to thank them for being in this country and apologize to them on behalf of the Republican Party for Donald Trump." And something like that. Think about what that means for somebody on their deathbed to realize how wrong the positions that they were associated with are. That carries a lot of weight for me, and that's something that, you know, I have to say, a lot of people, a lot of Republicans who are saying they can't in good conscience vote for Trump, they are really winning my respect, because while I may disagree with them on all sorts of issues, to be able to say that, to say, yeah, this guy does not stand for what I believe in, that speaks volumes.
That's strength to dissent within your own party. Definitely in our system here in America, it is a powerful thing, especially in that particular party.
Mm-hmm. Because the things that they differ on are big things.
Yep.
It's not like a difference between Bernie and Hillary.
And they're denying the foil or the sort of ruse of that fear and anxiety and xenophobia and refusing to uh-huh. accept that stance in a grab for power, which is what it is.
Yes, that's really what it's all about. And those people who are saying that, I don't like Trump, but he's so much better than Hillary, you know, really, you really believe that? I think a lot of people are holding their nose and saying that it's a power grab. Yeah, getting the Republicans in there is more important than letting a fascist get in there. And that is what you will be doing.
Yeah, and I honestly look at it like, oh, you know, she's got a record in public service. That's the long and the short of it, in my opinion. I know a lot of people would take me to task over that.
Benghazi.
And oh my gosh. I was there. I was at the Benghazi hearings, thank uh-huh. you. And I email Hillary all the time. So
did she answer any of your questions at the Benghazi hearing? No, she did not. She didn't even look me in the eye. Yeah, and I want to elect somebody like that?
Spread her mistruths. Well, no, but anyway, let's not mistake her history in public service as evidence of all sorts of wrongdoing simply by virtue of it existing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, she's been involved in government.
Right.
You're bound to step on some toes, and I think she would be the first to admit that. And on. So anyway, go ahead.
But Donald Trump has run an amazing business. All right, it's a great business that he's run.
I
think we're going to get so tired of winning.
I'm sick of winning. Oh, not that kind of winning.
Oh, wow. It's just, it's incredible. The simplicity of the things he says, which obviously have absolutely nothing to back them up. Just this releasing his tax return alone. The lies behind
all of it.
It's just, yeah, I'm being audited, so I can't release it. But, you know, you can. You totally can. Oh, everyone says that.
Yeah.
But I'll release it when Hillary Clinton releases her email. It's just basically changing the rules. He's never going to release the information because there's something in there he doesn't want us to see.
And
I couldn't care less. I don't care about his tax returns.
Yeah.
But this speaks to his integrity, to his honesty, which there is none.
Look, by the time he actually releases it, they're going to be probably pretty boring. Pretty watered down. I'm pretty sure they'll iron some things out, you know, whatever they're doing with it. And I love how entangled the IRS is getting. The IRS is now the enemy. That just is his tax returns being delayed is a perfect excuse to now point to the IRS and talk about waste, fraud, and abuse, whatever the go-to line is,
right.
and entangle that government institution as an example, big government, and, you know, everything that Trump is so sure is wrong with the way the country
is
going.
The enemy before because they were accused of targeting right-wing groups for more scrutiny, and also they take money from people.
Right. The more attention
is what they do, obviously.
Right. The more attention around that he can get, the more in his eyes, I think, and a lot of his supporters' eyes, bolsters the sort of anti-government and on as far as big government and taxes in general being a sore point.
How long do you think we can delay reading these letters? Because we basically said we were going to read the letters about a half hour ago.
You know, you're right. And... yeah, at least get through one of them. I'll try not to elaborate or expound on anything we've said, but we could go on and on. There's a lot here. To discuss.
If people wrote to us the way we talk to them, boy, we'd have a lot of letters. Okay, so just keep that in mind. OTW at 2600.com. If one of you right now is not writing a letter, we have failed. Failed. Total failure.
Completely.
All right. And especially if you have never written us a letter before, we'd love to hear from you. Yeah.
If you've never written an email before, we'd love to hear from
you as well.
If
you're learning to write, use us.
Yeah, right.
I mean, come on. That's what we're here for.
ESL, or maybe you've been... non-speaking your whole life. Maybe you're just learning language or shapes and colors.
Maybe you felt language wasn't for you. They had nothing to say. And now maybe you do. So who knows?
It's like the Quaker being moved in society here.
The Quaker being moved in society?
Yeah, like you quake. And then when somebody stands up, they're moved and they speak and so on in the Quaker halls. Yeah, so... please, be
moved. Getting all religious. I don't...
be moved to share with us.
Uh-huh.
Yes. All right, go on, please.
OTW at 2600.com. That's our email address. Okay, here's a letter. I just wanted to drop a line and let you know that I think the recent off-the-wall shows chronicling your train adventures were/are great. I guess this was written while they were still airing.
That's approval.
I am not lying when I say that some of the most fun, formative, and memorable experiences of my life took place on the Amtrak trains, running from Seattle, Washington to Tampa, Florida. Yes, they actually used to go all the way to Tampa and even further south if you were so inclined. Where, Cuba?
Like I'm thinking Mexico.
Wait. How do you get to Mexico from Florida?
Easy. That you just take the...
you just loop around. No,
yeah.
That's not what he means. No, he means like to Miami or something. Wow. We need a map up here. We really do.
Oh, no. I thought you meant cross... it's cross-country like...
Seattle to Tampa.
East,
it, like,
right?
I don't know how it got there. Maybe it went diagonal or... I don't know, but it used to go longer.
I'm thinking if it had gone down, like, the Southwest Chief, the route that we went, that possibly there would be some connection, like, in Albuquerque or, like, halfway across, at least, that would also go further south. I thought you meant south in geographically, like, in the continent, not in the state. But, okay, I'm sorry.
He means in Florida.
Yeah, all right.
Pretty sure that's what
in
he
the
means.
Destination...
yeah.
Got it.
But anyway, I've done coast-to-coast drives to help friends move, even coast-to-coast Greyhound trips, ouch, in parentheses,
uh-huh.
Which I agree with, even though I've never done that. But nothing compares to the train and the amazing experiences one can have therein, especially after several sleepless days and nights when things really start to get weird and good. I'm not sure what that means exactly. But we had places to sleep, so that's an important part, I think. I've always wanted to do the Northern Line in Canada, and your recent shows have rekindled my interest. I believe we've probably managed to sell out that train now for the next few months with all our enthusiasm.
We've definitely shared with as many people as we could about that experience, and we're glad to hear that somebody has been inspired to maybe look at it for themselves.
You might even see us in the streets, basically campaigning to people about the Northern Line, the from Vancouver to Toronto or Toronto Vancouver.
We started a travel agency.
Mm-hmm. It's called the Canadian, not our travel agency. The train is called the Canadian. And look it up. Go to Via Rail. I think it's via.ca.
In seriousness, yes.
And you can. I mean, it's yeah. It costs something, but so does traveling by plane. So does staying in a hotel. So does
right.
eating. And you get all three of those things. You get food. You get lodging. You get travel. You know, with one ticket. So I think that's pretty cool.
Cost is the first thing that people bring up as a reason they don't travel,
mm-hmm.
especially Americans. And I think there are ways that the richest nation in all the nations or whatever we fancy ourselves to be that we can get out of our own way and plan some of these things. And that's the thing. It's the hardest thing is getting out the door and making those plans. So I encourage everyone to try it. It's really fun.
Even though I'm older now, I'm back in the letter, but that's not me saying that. even though I'm older now and perhaps not as hell bent on the rare experience of the true train madness, I think a nice long ride on the Canadian rails with a sleeper car, of course, would be quite good for the soul. Anyway, keep on keeping on. You guys are awesome. I always look forward to your travel stories, witty banter, and general thoughts on these interesting times we live in. Onwards. Thanks, Matt, for that. And by the way, Matt has a special a message for you. He says he's the guy that gave you a chocolate bacon bar when you delivered Club Mate to him some years ago in I guess, Seattle.
Wow.
Do you remember a chocolate bacon bar?
Yes, I do.
I guess you wouldn't forget something like that.
Yep, and I ate it. I enjoy the chocolate bacon bar, so thank you.
Who comes up with these flavor combinations?
Well, it was, you know, I've been given mints that were bacon flavored from some of your friends. So I mean, this is a thing apparently.
There are some people with unhealthy obsessions with bacon. I know that. But, you know, chocolate and pretzel, I can understand that. Chocolate and peanut butter, that makes sense.
Well, what it is in, if you want to get into the culinary attributes, it's sweet and savory, right? Savory being the salty, sweet being sweet. And so those go well. You can pair them together and they sort of neutralize or whatnot. But it is actually tasty stuff. I had never had anything like that before in my life. I love chocolate and I've, you know... Not any sort of aversion to bacon, although I think I have a healthy intake, you know, of not making it my only.
Well, it's good
you, source of sustenance. I mean, I don't just eat bacon.
You're bringing somebody
yeah.
a beverage from Germany that they had never had before.
Well, yeah.
And they gave you something you had never had before.
Right.
So I think that's a fair trade.
No, it's great context. We do the mate delivery days every now and then in various locations. And that is one of the really fun parts about it. I would drive around and get invited to things. People would, you know, be very, very excited, obviously, to get their soda, but be very thankful and really friendly and inviting. So I met a lot of people through that, and it really was a positive experience. So I we'll have to do something like that again in the future.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
I'm all for it.
Yeah,
we'll fit it into our schedule somehow.
Well, that's just the thing. We've so many things all the time, and you know, just hearing the listeners' adulation over the travel shows reminds me that. Though it is work and, you know, we really want to spice things up. I want to, you know, work on production while we're traveling. We want to make it the best story we can to really make you feel like you're there. And we're always our own worst critics. We're always trying to improve it, make it better.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes me feel really, really fantastic to hear that kind of appreciation for it. Because when you're out there on the road, you have to make a concerted effort to capture that stuff, to think about what's around you, to notice things, and we try to put our heart and soul into it, and it gives us that much more, I think, purpose to give it a little extra when we're kind of reaching the bottom of the barrel as far as energy when we're traveling, to put in a little bit extra to make it that much more fun, because we know people appreciate it, so...
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Putting in the effort is you know, I realized just before, while we were heading over here, how busy I am, how actually busy, insanely busy.
That's what I meant.
You think I work on one publication. I'm actually working on five publications right now at this moment. Do you know what they are? The magazine, 2600, the summer issue, working on that, uh-huh. Okay? Working on the Digest, volume 11 from 1994. What we do is every year gets put into a Digest form, and we've gone back in time, starting with 1984, our first year. And then every year, what we do is we put them together and summarize them. We make them available in PDF form, and then we also explain some of the things that have been going on. And it's great because I get to go back and try and figure out what all the covers meant. And it's really cool when you figure out, oh, my God, that's what this means. That's an allusion to this particular thing that was going on at that time. It's history in the making. Well, it's history that's been made, but you're recounting. So that's what I've been doing, basically writing up all these summaries and putting that together for 1994.
Which is a lot of work, but that is so important that you're giving it context, mm-hmm. because people like me, people even younger, people that don't know what was going on in the grander sociopolitical events of the day can't really break apart those puzzles as
right.
well. So I'm so glad you're doing that. And I think a lot of people are really thankful for as much work as it is. I know you spend a lot of time on that.
It's rewarding, but it's time consuming. But it's also something, you know, people wanted us to digitize our back issues, and it's a way of preserving them. So
and we want to do it the right way.
And it's an ongoing project. What we do is we release four of those a year. So somehow we wind up releasing them right at the time where we're also working on an issue. So that's a lot of work right there.
So that's three?
That's two.
Two.
Number three is last year's digest for whatever volume that was from 2015. That comes out in June. That's
Got
a collection, a digitized collection of all the issues, PDF format, no DRM, any of that. But that has to be summed up and put into a particular order. So that's another one.
So that takes some assembly and stuff. Yeah.
Then
so
we got the
three.
Hacker Calendar. Okay, that's another publication. We have to basically compile photographs, summarize them, and of course, don't forget the dates of all the hacker things
right.
that have been going on. A lot of news in the hacker world. We got to compile that information. That's due out in July, in time for the conference. And then number five is the publication we distribute at the conference, which is the program.
Yes.
And that involves all the speakers and schedules and various other things. Now, all that, five publications I'm working on at the same time, and organizing a conference, the Hope Conference, coming up. And somehow, I got suckered into digitizing all the CDs that we have here at the radio station, which is another way of basically preserving history. It's important. Has to be done. And the risk of it not being done means you could lose this. So that's a lot of work, too.
Technically, you published the web pages for both the conference and the site. So that's even more publishing. So there's a lot of publishing going on.
I wrote a note, too. There's a lot of things that I'm doing. But, you know, if I'm not getting back to people with email, this is why. Because I didn't realize how busy I was until I had a moment to think about it. And then, wow. Okay. So a lot's going on.
That's what I meant by just the sheer energy it takes to focus on recording something and doing it right and spending the time it deserves to bring it back and share on this program on WUSB and Off the Wall and so on. In the context of all the other things, it really is important to hear that feedback on a deep level so that we can really dig deep and focus when we're doing that and not be distracted by the millions of other things, because it really does add up when you're so involved. And and when people are excited about this stuff, we hear from people, we want to get this stuff,
right.
We want to hear about this, we would love to get all this media at the station in a usable form so that people can access it. All these little projects matter, and they matter a great deal to
yeah,
us.
There's nothing I'm involved in that I did not choose to be involved in,
sure.
and that I don't find rewarding and important. So no regrets, but wow, I can't believe how busy I am.
I'll help. I help with the robot. There's a lot of technical stuff. I'm learning a lot about DVD drives because wear them out. When you have thousands and thousands of discs to encode, you tend to just burn through drives. So we're learning a lot about that, and I promise I will help you with the calendar. That's my promise.
Well, thank you for that.
So that's, you know, just trying to ease the burden a little.
This year, let's get the months in the right order. That's all I ask. Hey, we have another letter. This one from Down Under. You know where that is, Kyle?
I do. The Australian continent.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, you know your phrases. Good. Okay. This is directed to both Emmanuel and Kyle.
Oh, both of us.
The spiky fruit that falls from trees and kills people is the durian. We were talking about pineapples a few weeks ago.
That's right.
They are so sharp, heavy, and spiky that they hurt just to hold. Can you imagine being hit on the head with one of those things? The vendors usually wear chainmail gloves to handle them. It's a sight to behold. They also stink like a mixture of overripe cheese mixed with essence of dirty socks. Some people like that. Some people go for that sort of thing.
That is the most specific explanation of what durian smells like. Usually people just talk about flesh and, you know, that dead, rotting this. But
if you're around dead, rotting flesh, you will be able to describe it well. If you're around durian fruit, you will be able to describe that well.
Okay.
So it's a question of what you're exposed to. They are very popular in Singapore and Malaysia, but the stalls that sell them have to be outside so the smell doesn't overwhelm the building. And it's also illegal to carry them on public transport in Singapore. I can relate to this. I was in both Malaysia and Singapore, and there are signs on the train saying with a slash through fruit with a smell coming from it.
Spiky and irradiating fumes. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
As for pineapples, they don't have seeds, so they don't want animals to eat the fruit to spread the... Wait a minute. The pineapples don't want... Wait, I'm not sure who they is in this particular case. Maybe the sentence again. They don't have seeds, so they don't want animals to eat the fruit to spread the seeds in their dung, etc., like other fruit. But, and, yeah, folks, that's how fruit seeds do get spread. So, yeah, I guess...
So that doesn't...
Pineapples don't want that to be... I'm not exactly sure.
I think he might have said something wrong or... It meant the opposite of what he said, because if they don't have seeds, then it shouldn't be a problem if animals eat them and spread their seeds.
That's a point.
Because there
yeah.
aren't
well,
any
no,
seeds.
Okay, but here's the thing. Each plant grows one pineapple in the middle of its spiky leaves.
Uh-huh.
So if animals were going around eating these things all the time, would that one plant wouldn't survive, right? They'd wind up eating whatever was going to make that happen. Whether it's a seed or... I don't know how it works.
If he's saying they don't have seeds. I mean, I've opened up a pineapple. I know they don't have seeds.
I thought they grew in trees. I really did. When the original plant dies, the top part, the leaves of the pineapple fruit, which is the bit you cut off and throw away, grows into a new plant.
Oh.
That's what happens.
Okay.
The way to tell if a pineapple is ripe is to pull on one of the lower leaves on its crown. If it pulls out reasonably easily without breaking, the pineapple is ripe enough to eat. The pineapple will keep uncut for a week or two, but yeah. once it starts to become overripe, it will rot quickly.
Yes.
And we learned that lesson.
No.
No, actually, it was good. You know, you had a lot of sliced pineapples there. But Neil,
you did it at the right time.
Neil writes to us, I know all this as I grew up in Queensland, the home of the pineapple in Australia. So thank you, Neil, for that... that lesson on pineapples.
I learned a bunch of things there. That is great. Thank you, Neil, for listening so carefully.
Our listeners, they pool together. They know everything. So keep that in mind.
They certainly do.
So that's pretty much, it's 6:52. Do you want to try to take a phone call?
So that means I have to do this and throw this that way.
And you might not even get a phone call.
And I might not even get a phone call.
Well, I have something interesting. If you get us into delay successfully, I have something that's relevant to the topic.
Okay. I just have to remember to do this last. Okay.
You know what? I'm not going to say a word. I'm just going to close my eyes and enjoy the ride, and hopefully it works out. Yeah, just remember to put that up. Otherwise, you won't hear anything.
Okay. I'm ready.
Hi, this is Georgia from Yola Tango. You're listening to WUSB.
Hello, we're here.
Yeah, you know, and the reason there's a slight pause is because we didn't start talking right away. We kind of waited. But here we are, and I see meters moving, so I think we made it okay.
Okay.
Our phone number is 631-632-6901. And if you could keep an eagle eye on that phone, Kyle, and interrupt me if it starts
ringing.
It
is ringing now.
Oh, then interrupt me now. Okay. I won't even read this story.
Hello, you're on WUSB.
Hey, how you doing? I just emailed you also.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's great. Could you make sure your radio's down?
Low enough.
Okay, well, it might get confusing.
You should turn your studio down so we don't get real feedback.
Funny. Okay. Yeah, already getting it. So, hey, where are you calling from? What's your comment?
Suffolk County, Brentwood.
Oh, great.
I'm originally from Huntington Station, or South Huntington.
Great. Well, we'll get your letter, but what was on your mind now?
I emailed you that I made a scale model. I'm a scale model maker.
Oh.
Donald Trump, years ago.
Of Donald Trump.
For Donald Trump, yeah.
Wait, you made a model for Donald Trump?
A scale model, like a building or of some kind?
He was going to build this huge complex on the derelict, on the west side of, side of Manhattan, up near the park.
Okay.
And called the Television City, and it got shot down by the community. But the model was made, you know, before that. And
wow.
The towers, there were five towers, but the center tower was way taller than the World Trade Center, which was also still standing then.
Wow. So now, did you work directly with him?
Below was a whole floors and floors of complex, but it was all dwarfed by the tower, and that was one of the issues with the community. They didn't want that. They didn't want the excessive traffic.
Right. Did you work directly with him?
No.
Okay.
Wow.
I mean, he would come to the model shop, you know, but we worked under the architect, but then again, he did come to see the model from time to time.
Right, right.
So who has the model now?
I'm sorry?
Who has the model now?
I have no idea.
Oh.
This model firm on Broadway in Huntington Station actually made the original model for Lincoln Center that went on to tour the world. But I don't think the Trump model is touring the world.
Are you still involved with this now? Do you still do anything with models?
I'm a model maker.
Wow. So you're a hobbyist as well.
Which I've done, like display manufacture, machining, plastics, cabinetry, you know, very tight tolerances and not always tight graphics.
Wow. Miniature, of course. Wow.
I'm like the 3D printer before there were printers.
Yeah. There used to be a lot more moving parts to make a pun.
I always felt that you have to be able to understand it in your head. Now, on a computer, you can do like a 13th mirror image of something, 1, 2, 3, with the press of a button. We can't do that with our minds, but you have to understand the dimensionality and measurement and scale.
Yeah, how does the part scale and so on. Wow, that is really interesting. I appreciate you giving us a call and sharing.
Okay, I've called you guys on the OTH and emailed you before.
Okay, great. Well, we'll check our mail, and thanks a lot for listening.
Oh, one more thing. I did make a cameo at one of your hopes also.
Okay, well, make one at the next one, too.
Yeah, come to the 11th hope and make another one. All right?
Guys.
Thanks. Okay.
Wow. What a good call that
Very
was.
Very cool. Yeah, that was fun. So
we have to get out of delay now.
61.
Because Finn is not in delay, and he's looking at us from another dimension now.
Finn is going to say on delay.
He's on at 7. So yeah, he will say that.
I'm sorry. We cannot take any further phone calls.
Will we getting more? I can't see anything from over here.
We have no incoming phone calls at present.
And who are you apologizing to?
I was going to give the number. I started to give the number.
Okay.
I will not backpedal and finish giving the number because we don't have time to do that.
Yeah, you can call Finn and tell him what you were going to tell us, but he's the only one that'll hear it.
Right.
Okay, so let us get out of delay.
Okay, so that means
that's the easy part. Listen, switch back and
turn this down.
No, if you do that, then you turn us off.
Yeah. So we're listening to ourselves
back and
now.
Wait.
See?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
There's two of us.
Oh yeah. There are two of us.
There was a delay us and a live us. That's what's so amazing. Right. Anyway, so that's great. Of course, he did say he wrote to us before, and we want people. We love getting letters from people who have written to us before. We want
to get
new people to write us letters as well. It's easy. It's fun. otw@2600.com is our email address.
Any topic under the sun, anything we've talked about, we are not talking about, have alluded to, or almost talked about, broached. Anything like that, we would love to address it and consider it for a show in the future. That's
absolutely
about it.
Yes. Definitely.
All right. So,
hey, I have a song. I have a song from Billy Bragg.
Yeah, what's this
dedicated,
all about?
It's dedicated to fascism, as most of his songs are.
As most of us are.
That's true. But this is a message to all the Trump supporters out there. I have yet to meet one, but there's lots of them, and they think they're going to win. And we have a message that basically says they're not.
And I hope that's true.
Good night.
Bye.
Just about to lose. They don't.